Hello, dear listener, and welcome back to Jodie into Terror, the only Doctor Who flashcast that really misses the lovely way that those boys from Global Chemicals used to behave. We're all here after having watched this week's episode, which, of course, was the long-anticipated Arachnids in the UK. And I'm going to throw to Todd, if that's all right, and see what you thought of it. Todd.
Thanks, Nathan. Hi, everyone. Hi, listeners. Look, I enjoyed this. I mean, I'd give it 7 out of 10. Like, I thought it had heart. You know, I think all of Team TARDIS had their moments of lovely, you know, character growth. Even the Doctor, you know, warning her whole team about coming with her. I mean, I think that's the first time we've had, like, real character growth for the Doctor in you know, forever. And Bradley Walsh hit it out of the ballpark again. And I thought that his relationship with Ryan was beautiful. Yaz had some lovely moments at the beginning and end. She did get a bit lost, I thought, because of the with the mother and the other Spider Woman and Mr. Big. I thought she got a bit lost in the mix yet again. I think there was some great humor in it. Like, I was laughing about the mother's attempt to pair her off with whoever, and the Doctor's joke about Ed Sheeran. I was cracking up about that. And, you know, it had scary moments and the music was fantastic. And I wasn't quite, you know, there was a few little things where I thought, oh, you know, trapping all the spiders in that panic room at the end and, well, they're all dead, aren't they?
it was very humane, Todd.
it was very humane. And I guess the other thing I really loved was the fact that when the TARDIS travelled through the inside of a gel guard, you know, which I thought was utterly beautiful, and so I enjoyed it, and you know, I got my shocks and the humour and everything, and yeah, and it had a bit of political stuff, and there was a family, and you know, good. There you go.
Brilliant. Richard, you're a big fan of the Green Death. What did you think?
I'm an even bigger fan of the work of, as we've often said, that descendant of German filmmaking, Stanley Kubrick. And I'm thinking back to Stephen King's novel that became a really quite extraordinary 1980 film called The Shining. And right from the tracking shots over the carpet. I know this establishing shot. I know this film. You're doing Kubrick. So it was a lovely melange. Everyone's been saying, yes, there's maggots and the thing. But I think that's the obvious cast back, which is a lovely thing that Chibnall seems to be throwing a lot. But I also like that he does Molly Grubbers, I should say, as well. And he's bowling underarm a lot. And he's throwing lots of things to us that I really like a lot. I remember that the little boy who was psychic in that film's name was also called Jack. And I'd like to think that Chris Noth's character is just the little boy in The Shining grown up. Dark and horrible things. I want to talk politics because I do that. We know Chris Noth's personal position on American politics, and it's kind of obvious. He's an actor. He's lived in New York. I mean, they all think the same way. So, from what I've been hearing, he kind of begged for this role. They sort of said, what would you like? Or he pitched. He said, you know, you want to be on the show? He said, well, you know, what would you want to do? And he said, well, we'd like to play you as the sort of anti-Trump Trump. And he went, oh, I would so love that. And there's no shoes. No, we don't talk about shoes once. So it's fine. Get me away from that horse-faced woman. I'd love that. that's a reference to the Stormy Daniels line that Trump spoke of. I think the best thing in this is beautiful cinematography. Yeah. The realization this series and the art direction is just gorgeous. I don't think we've seen anything so good since episode one of the Sensorites. And no, I'm not. I'm only being half naughty there because I'm thinking back to the sounds of the web planet and our own Rosalind de Winter, who is, you know, one of the patron saints of the podcast. And just how bloody frightening was this? How did you all feel?
I was jumping around.
Yeah, I thought it was scary. I thought there was one particularly disgusting moment when, is it Stormzy? I'm really old, so I don't know what that musician was called, but when his track was luring them all into the panic room, and there were some particularly disgusting spider leg movement things at that moment, which I just thought were really super horrifying. And I think that this is, you know, that for a generation of children, this could well be their green death, because those spiders, like, they weren't super convincing all the time, but they were great. I mean, they were super scary.
Oh, they were beautiful, and they were so fluffy. Moments in the house, just so gorgeous, and so many nods to films of German filmmakers. So, just really lovely.
Okay, excellent, Brendan. You hate it. Is that right?
Hello. Yeah, no, absolutely hated it. 0 out of 10. No, I loved it. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. It's an 8 out of 10 from me. I very much appreciated that they weren't the spiders of Metabolus 3.
Yeah.
Because
although, I didn't hate that.
A handlebar moustache would not have gone astray. Gareth Hunt lookalike.
No, but yeah. There was a moustache. Yeah, Yaz's dad had a beard. Hakim had a beard.
I loved it. Can we talk about the family?
They are fantastic. So it's Hakim, Sonia, and Nadia.
Yeah.
Are the family.
They're just delightful. And that sister, we've got a Neris.
Yes, we do. Or an Annalise. Exactly. I was thinking that as well. So,
well, the thing is, I think not only do we have a Neris, but continuing Todd's analogy from the last few weeks, if you don't mind me stealing this, Todd, Nadja, I think, is a bit like, you know, Nissa's absent mother, whereas Hakim is a bit more like Tremast. You know, he's capable and loving, but he's a bit doddery. Sonia always sort of sniping at Yaz and bringing her down. Well, she's Cassia, quite clearly. glowing eyes by the end of the season. Painted on, naturally. I thought this was perfectly pitched. Just the right level of scares and laughs. The scene where it seems like Ryan is about to say to Graham, my dad's not really family, but you are.
Yeah.
And, of course, they suddenly realize we're in a room full of spiders is brilliant. Yeah. And my only sort of real disappointment is, okay, Arachnid's in the UK. I get it. It's another music reference. But maybe Spiders of Sheffield might have been a better title.
What did you do?
I agree with you, Brendan. Yeah, Spiders of Sheffield.
Isn't it a play on anarchy in the UK?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is. Another,
just
it's
not a very good one.
Reference.
No. Yeah. I was thinking northern town of the spiders, you know.
Sheffield's more of a medium-sized
town of the spiders. I was getting a bit of a Tish Jones vibe from Nacha, actually, because she happens to be employed by this week's villain for, you know, no particular reason.
I kind of thought that. I wonder if that's her mother. Yes, it is.
Oh, that didn't occur to me. I have to say that did come as a surprise.
I wonder if she works in it. Yes, she is.
Based on the pre-publicity, I thought Jade the scientist was going to be Yaz's sister. But I quite like that Yaz is the older sister and Sonya's sort of a, like, typical late teen, young adult.
Yeah.
Character. You say
home. But Richard, I think, well, anyone might know this, but I think if anyone does, it's going to be Richard. Richard, did you recognize Nadia?
Nadia. Oh, yes, I did. Yes.
Now,
bugger it, I can't think who she is. Who, come tell.
Dinner Ladies.
Oh, isn't that adorable? Right.
She is.
With Celia Imrie, whom we own.
Oh, golly, that's a while ago.
Yeah, and she looks
She's fantastic. Looking great. That's why I didn't spot her. Gee, I didn't know that ship fat could be that good for you. Billy Piper was right.
I'm certainly inviting her to MumCon, which is my fantasy convention. Amy's mother's not invited, but
she doesn't exist.
But Yaz's mother definitely is. She was superb. Look, for me, this was absolutely everything that I want out of Doctor Who, and it was what I was hoping Chibnall would do after seeing all of Broadchurch, because I spent the last 3 weeks thinking Broadchurch was often really funny, despite being about murdering children mostly. It actually manages.
That's hilarious.
It actually manages to be funny all the time. And I was thinking maybe it's just Olivia and David that are making it funny. But there was super, super funny dialogue all the way through this. There was heart. There was a family. You know, all of these people online who are sort of saying, oh, it all wrapped up too quickly. I mean, we had a lot of exposition. I think we had as much exposition as we needed for this. And I was glad that it finished early enough to give us proper time. That's what I hope from these 50-minute episodes, that we get proper time to spend with the characters and do the character stuff. And we're not just running from place to place. And this absolutely delivered. I feel very bad saying this because I think Rosa is a much more important episode, but this is my favourite episode of the series so far. I just adored it. I thought it was so fantastic. I watched it twice last night and I was just laughing like a giant idiot both times. It was so good. It was so good. And the politics of it, you know, you've got Donald Trump's entire business empire is built on a festering pile of toxic garbage. That's right. You know, and he's got all these Trump things. He's obsessed with his phone. You know, he's a germaphobe, so he's constantly wiping his hands. You know, his hotel's in the middle of a golf course, James was saying before. And that fabulous bit, you know how Trump was saying that he would have rushed into Parkland and single-handedly fought off the gunman because, of course, he's a giant idiot. He, you know, pushes poor Kevin into the bathroom and locks the door behind him.
Locks the door. Hello. Oh boy.
Look, I was sitting there, and you want him to die. You want this character to.
Yeah, yeah.
Such an asshole, and then he doesn't. It's perfect. It works with.
Oh, I think you'll be seeing a little bit more of this one, don't you? He's the anti-Harriet Jones.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I hope we'll be seeing more of it.
But, I mean, we all said that about Crasco last week. I actually think that, you know, people have been complaining that Jodie doesn't manage to do a good killing a villain thing. She hasn't killed any villains. She's 0 for 4. And I just kind of think that's clearly not what she's going to be doing.
And also, speaking it's a of misunderstanding which, of, go the, on. Of the nature of the program.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit uncomfortable with the extreme position that the show has taken, because I have never met a woman, let alone anyone in my ilk, who wouldn't want to take a big swat to that massive major spider.
Yeah. Well, David Tennant flushed all those ones down the sink, remember?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the only bit that didn't quite hold within its own reality for me.
I think that she was sort of sending the other spiders to the panic room to basically eat each other while
pretty much. Spider King.
That went through my mind.
I did
think though that was actually managed to be a bit moving, you know, that spider was sort of struggling to breathe and the doctor was kind to it. And that scene ends with her kneeling down by the spider as it dies. And I thought that was good. And that was proper weirdly doctorish, you know.
She's a Buddhist now. She's proper Buddhist doctor.
That's it.
Mm. It kind of goes back to the, you know, like Todd's analogy that this is basically the fifth doctor.
It is.
Yeah, you know, like the character values life above all else.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 7, the seventh doctor, because he's the one who very, very definitely says we're not gonna kill. Mm. And I like that. I think that's
it's the dark.
Yeah, that's good. But I do think, you know, this is very much our century's Green Death, and I think they did a really, really terrific job of it.
It does wear its politics on its sleeve.
Well, so does the Green Death, though.
So did Rosa. I kind of like that with the ethics of this series so far. When we've seen them, they are really, you know, like they're proud of them. They're saying we are against bigotry and racism. We value life. We believe that these sort of this rampant capitalism that's destroying the planet is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
which is something I loved about Pertwee is the Pertwee sort of Barry Letts stories as well.
Tom? I have to say that I think the biggest surprise for me in this season is the heart of this Team TARDIS, and it's a real strength that Jim was playing to, and the visuals are just stunning, and I think the music's wonderful, and now we're getting more humour as we get to know these characters, and hopefully we'll continue to build from here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's good. All right, how is our timer going? Oh, you've got it on silent. I paid for a sound effect last week, James. You're just not going to any effort at all.
Come on, James.
Oh, there we go. Look.
Ding, 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 ding.
Are there any sort of closing remarks? I've got one. I think Yaz was outed by her mother as bisexual this week.
Although. There's also a play on every Asian mother. Yeah. I just want you to be married.
Yeah.
I don't care. Oh, she's a doctor. I mean, the fact that she was a doctor, I actually think that was a fluff. That's actually my only flaw, apart from the spider thing of this episode. Thank you for bringing it up. I think the actor herself threw that line. Right. I don't believe that was written to be such a throwaway in a kind of judgy tone. I think it was meant to be, so are you two going out?
Yeah. Rich doctor, you say.
A little more geeker of Blooming Lovely than...
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And it would have been kind of beautiful if that had happened. So I'm a bit sad about that.
I think there was a Sarah Jane vibe to it. And anyone who complains that Doctor Who is too much like Sarah Jane Adventures... can go and watch something else, I think, yeah.
Yes. Well, yes.
Well, they've already had their funectomy, haven't they?
Yeah.
They can go and look themselves in a panic room.
I did think that the exposition in front of the toxic waste dump, like both Rod and I looked at each other about three quarters of the way through that, and we're like, yes, okay, we get it. We can stop now.
Did you notice Ryan during the exposition in the lab where there's this exposition scene?
Yes.
Do the rabbit ears.
He was doing shadow puppets, wasn't he?
So brilliant. So brilliant. Yes. Wonderful. Yes, he was.
Was it deliberate?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, do you think maybe it was something that Tosin thought of?
He's just being cheeky. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think also we're starting to get a little thing in these episodes where there's something in each episode which Ryan just starts enjoying himself and turns on that brilliant smile, like when he's the one who comes up with the music idea and he's just sitting there rocking out to it.
It was so great. That was so enjoyable. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we'll wind it up. Todd, did you have anything more to add?
No, I think we've said it all.
Okay. Look, this is a quick one. I think we've done very well. All right.
Just before we go.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Before we go, can I spruik something completely unrelated?
Oh, yes.
Next week on the ABC, next Tuesday night, November the 6th,
yes,
at 9:30 p.m. is a documentary I worked on called Nolan.
Ooh.
About the Nolan sisters.
Yes.
Yes, right.
Sid and
especially
James.
Sidney, their long-lost brother, who was a famous Australian artist. Now, I didn't have anything creative to do on this. I was an administrative support role. But it's a fantastic documentary, so that is next Tuesday night at 9:30 on ABC TV.
Excellent. That's brilliant. Thank you very much.
That is exciting.
Yeah. All right. So we'll wind it up there. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on the call tonight, and thank you, everyone at home, for listening. Don't forget, our main podcast is rocketing towards the end of Series 1 of Doctor Who. And you'll find that at flightthroughentirety.com and at FTE Podcast on Twitter and at Flight Through Entirety on Apple Podcasts. That's the wrong order, but it doesn't matter. We're staying with it. And on Bondfinger, we have finally reached the end of the Bond franchise with the release this week of Spectre, our commentary on Spectre. And so we would like to promise you with our hands and our hearts right now that there will never, ever be another episode. No, that's not true. We are going to continue the podcast, and so stay tuned to bondfinger.com and at bondfingercast on Twitter for more news on that. So it really remains for me to say just one more thing. Thank you very much for listening, and good night.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Get off the line.